How's everybody doing? Doing good this morning? I don't know why this is with me. All right, we'll put it over there. All right. Well, yes, it is Mother's Day, so happy Mom's Day to everybody, to those of you who have a mom, and that is everyone. You have a birth mother, and you have other moms in your life. You have other women in your life who are involved, and so we can always celebrate that. So yeah, it being Mother's Day, we're going to take a break from the Empowered series, and we're going to talk about moms this morning, and nothing says Mother's Day like the Christmas story. So, tis the season, right? Tis the season. We're gonna go to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start there this morning. But just as a reminder, not that we don't talk about this frequently, but as a reminder, Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem, right? They go to Bethlehem because Mary is pregnant with Jesus, and she ends up having the child there in Bethlehem. While they're in Bethlehem, there are shepherds out in the field surrounding the city of Bethlehem, out in the fields watching their sheep. And while they're out there, they get a visit from an angel to start with, right? And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord." Very Christmassy, isn't it? Actually, that was our series this year, wasn't it? Good News of Great Joy. I think that's what we did. And then a whole lot more angels show up. And they begin praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among people with whom he is pleased." Okay? So the angels bring this message to the shepherds, and the shepherds are like, okay, we got to go check this out. We got to go find out what this is all about. So in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it says this: "When the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem, then, and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord made known to us.' And they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed about the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart." So Jesus is born, right? The shepherds are the first to show up at the stable. We don't know if other people visited, but they got the word about this incredible thing that was happening. And they see this baby in the manger, just like it's been told them. And after they visit, they go and they tell everybody they can about what's happened, about what has been told to them about what has happened, okay? Everybody they tell is amazed. Okay, everybody is overwhelmed. They're overjoyed. They're in awe of what has been told to them about this child. But Mary treasured all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. I want to talk about Mary this morning, and Mary's relationship with her son Jesus. I don't think Mary was a perfect mom, right? That wasn't what caused the Lord to say, "You, right? You're gonna be you're the perfect one," right? I'm sure she got frustrated or agitated or overwhelmed with everything that was happening, just like every parent does. And I often think about this situation from what I understand about being a parent and what I understood the first time that I held one of my own children, right? When I looked at a baby, that one over there, big baby. Still a big baby. When I held a child, my child, for the very first time, I was in awe of, like, oh my goodness, but also I felt the overwhelming responsibility that is now placed on me, right, of this child. Like, I now have the responsibility of raising this child to be the human, the person that God has created them to be, right? And I felt, I took that on. Whether I was supposed to or not, I took it on. I felt the weight of that responsibility. The life of a human being now in my hands, I'm now responsible for raising this person, okay? And there's no way to know how to do that. You just don't know, right? Nobody knows. There's all kinds of books written on it. You can read all kinds of books, but you get in the middle of it and you're just like, well, I don't know. Let's do this, right? I mean, you just kind of have to go with it. But you feel that sense of responsibility and that weight, and sometimes it becomes overwhelming. How much more for Mary and Joseph, right? How much more would they feel the weight of that responsibility with the circumstances that are surrounding this child? I mean, there's the whole virgin birth thing, right? There's visits from angels. There's prophetic statements made. There's the fulfillment of those prophetic statements that were previously made. The pressure involved here to do this right. You know what I mean? The pressure of getting it right about raising this kid. Did you get visits from angels? Did you get weird ruffians, characters, travelers from afar visiting your home to worship your child? What? Travelers from distant places. The first time you took your child to church, did the pastor sweep the child up in his arms and say, "Behold, I have seen the salvation of the Lord. I can die in peace now." That's some pressure. Right? That's some pressure. You're responsible for that. You better do a good job. That's all I'm saying. There's a lot riding on this kid. And maybe Mary and Joseph, or specifically Mary, maybe she didn't feel any of that pressure. Maybe that's why the Lord chose her, because she was just, right? She wasn't going to feel any of this. I can't say whether she did or not. I assume there was some pressure involved or there was something. But I can say she was definitely aware of the things that were happening here. She was definitely aware of the things that were being said about this child, and not just from other people. Like, these were things that the Lord told her about her child, okay? And so the scripture says when the shepherds came, it just basically says when they came and visited and they left, but I think there was probably a significant amount of time spent there, like with this child, right? They didn't just go, yep, it's a baby, let's go, right? There was some conversation about what the angels had said, combined with the things that Mary had been told from the Lord. And when the shepherds left, the scripture says, Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And that's the phrase that last Christmas, this past Christmas, I was reading this, that phrase stuck with me. And I thought, okay, Mother's Day, let's talk about that. Mary treasured all these things. She pondered them in her heart. What does it mean for Mary to treasure these things, right? And what is she treasuring? What is involved here? I want to get into the Greek a little bit, because there's some pretty cool things that I like to highlight about it. So we're actually going to put the Greek words up there. But this word treasured, what is it? What does it mean? What is it? What's going on in here? The Greek word that we translate, or that is translated treasured, is called suntereo, or it's suntereo, right? That's how I'm going to say it anyway. Suntereo. And it means to preserve a thing from being lost. That's the text of this, okay? The context. To preserve a thing from being lost, to keep safe, to protect, to guard, okay? So Mary is preserving these things. She is protecting these things. She is guarding these things. And what is it that she's guarding and protecting? It's all that's being said about her child. It's all the things that the Lord said about her child, who he's going to be, what he's going to do. The angel told her, right? He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. These are the things, along with what the angels said, okay, and along with what Simeon and Anna said, She's treasuring these things. She's protecting. She's preserving these things within her. So she's taking all of these things about who Jesus was and who he will be and what he will do, and she's preserving them and guarding them and keeping them safe within her, treasuring them, okay? And she's not just taking them at face value, right? She's pondering them in her heart. Greek word translated to ponder here is sumbalo, means to combine, to come together, to meet, to converse, okay? So to ponder something in this text or context is like, she's rolling it over in her head and in her heart. She's like, she's wrestling with all of this and what does it mean and who is he and who is he gonna become and how is it gonna take place and all of this stuff, right? She's pondering it. She's thinking about it. She's dreaming about it, okay? But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And I think in this one little sentence, we see the heart of every mom everywhere who has an interest in caring for her child. Or really every parent everywhere. Guys, we can be in it too. Who is invested in the life of their child. She's looking into the face of her baby, right? She's looking down as he's sleeping, and she is dreaming about who he is and what he will become and the life that he will experience, all the hopes and the dreams that she has for this child. And with Mary, she has some pretty big hopes and dreams because of what has been told to her about this child. Things that have been spoken to her from God himself. Mary is treasuring these things. She's preserving them. She's holding on to them. She's protecting them from being lost. Nobody else might remember, but she's going to. She is. When the Lord blesses you with children or with people in your life who are like children, there are certain things that you hope for your child, that you dream for your child. Things that you want more than anything for your child to experience in their life as they grow and as they become an adult and they're independent, right? You have hopes and dreams for your children. And you hold on to those things. You treasure those things in a way that means you're protecting them, you're preserving them. Especially if it's something that you understand God is saying about this child, your children. And I'm not talking about like I have a dream that my child will be a doctor and I can retire early and they can take care of me, right? I mean like for me, I dream about my children finding wives that are perfect for them, the perfect match for them. I dream about my children finding life in Christ and discovering an identity of who they are in Christ that defies what the world says about them. I dream about my children finding joy every day, regardless of the situation, regardless of the difficult circumstances that they're going to find themselves in, but they can experience joy even in that. Because it's a relationship, comes from a relationship with their father. You have hopes and dreams for your kids. And you protect those dreams. You preserve them. You guard those dreams for your children about who they are and who they will be and what they will experience, right? And from those dreams and from that, those things that you feel like are God-given, they direct your parenting. Right? They kind of guide how you are going to parent your kid. You hope they become this, so you're doing what you can to guide them into that or guide them into an experience that will lead them to discovering that for themselves, whatever, right? And even when things aren't looking good for them to end up experiencing what you're hoping for them or what you dream for them, you hold on to that, right? And you protect that. You treasure that. I think that's what Mary is doing in this moment, right? She's being a mom who has hopes and dreams for her children. Maybe different or bigger dreams in different ways than you and I have or we experience, but she's treasuring these things that she believes about her child. She's preserving them. She's protecting them. It's what moms, it's what parents do for our children, right? We love them. We want to see them experience all the things that we hope and we dream for them. Mary's just being a mom. The mom of the King of the Universe, but she's a mom. We don't have too many stories or too many interactions that we know of between Jesus and Mary. We do have a couple. And there's another story actually in the same chapter, Luke chapter 2. It comes at the end of chapter 2. But there's been 12 years that have happened or that have taken place in between here in these two stories, right? And to remind you of this story, Mary and Joseph and Jesus and presumably any other kids they have go to Jerusalem, right? And they're there in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover, and they do this every year. And Jesus is 12 at this time. And basically what happens is they lose him, right? You had one job. And you can't keep track of the Son of God. Okay. All right? One job. But they lose him. Right? It's not like a 3 minutes I was walking down an aisle, turn around, and the kid went down the next aisle. It's a day before they recognize he's gone. Okay? They assume he's with somebody else in the caravan as they're going back and forth, right? At some point they realize, wait a minute, have you seen Jesus? No. Have you seen Jesus? Nope. We should probably find him, okay? So they turn around and they go back. They go back to Jerusalem. Where did we last see him? We last saw him in Jerusalem, okay? Let's go find him, like car keys. So they go back to Jerusalem, and they search in Jerusalem for 3 days. And they finally find him after 3 days. So let's pick up this story in verse, 48? Verse 48. When Joseph and Mary saw him, they were bewildered. Oh, where did they find him? In the temple, right? So he's sitting in the temple, and he's talking to the priests, and he's asking questions, and he's answering questions with these rabbis of Jerusalem. And so they're like, when they find him, when Joseph and Mary saw him, they were bewildered. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And yet they on their part did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued to be subject to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Oh, did you catch that phrase? And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people. So Jesus doesn't go back to Nazareth with him, right? He stays in the temple. After 3 days, they finally find him. And Mary says, "Boy, how could you? What are you doing? Why have you treated us this way?" Right? I've said that a time or two or something like it. "Your father and I have been looking everywhere for you." And Jesus responds with, "Why are you worried? What are you worried about, Mom? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Now, side note, Mary just said, "Your father and I have been looking for you." And Jesus replies with, "Well, I was in my father's house, Mom." 12-year-old Jesus, maybe? I don't know. I don't know if that's how he said it or not, but it's fun to think about. I've experienced that a time or two as well. But they didn't understand what he was saying. Like, what do you mean? What, like, in your father's house? But once again, we see Mary and her mom heart treasuring these things, right? She's treasuring these things in her heart. What things? That Jesus wanted to stay back and talk in the temple, that he was asking and he was answering questions with the best rabbis there were. And the crowds are amazed, and Mary and Joseph are bewildered, and they recognize, or I think Mary recognizes, something is happening here. Something's happening here. So Mary treasures these things in her heart. If there is a word in a story when I'm studying scripture that is the same English word, and it's a significant part to this, I go and I look it up because I want to know, is it the same Greek word? Right? She treasured these things in her heart. Like love, right? We know there's four Greek words that we translate love. We're kind of simplistic that way. English is, even though it's difficult to learn. But there's four words. So what's the different word? Guess what? This treasured is a different word. The first one, remember, meant to preserve, to protect, to guard, that kind of a thing, right? This word, Greek word, is diatereo. It's similar, but it has a different meaning. It means to keep continually or carefully, as in to watch thoroughly or to observe strictly. They sound similar. They have similar meanings because they have a similar root. But if you think about it carefully, there is a key difference. One means to keep, to protect, to guard, to hold on to. The other means to keep in mind, to watch thoroughly, to observe carefully. You see the difference? It's a difference of distance. It's a difference of distance. The first one's very hands-on. It's holding fast to. It's gripping tight. It's not letting go. The second one is observing and keeping in mind, and I'm paying attention to this, and I'm going to remember this as we go forward, that kind of a thing, right? And what I'm seeing in this second picture is, number one, a conflict between Jesus and Mary, okay? Right? Mary is interacting with her son, and there is a realization that he is growing up. And more importantly than just growing, the scripture says that Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people. He's growing in his own identity, in his own relationship with God. Okay? And it's causing a conflict between Jesus and his parents, right? This is an argument between a teenage Jesus and his parents. Mary, and the conflict comes from Mary's got these hopes and these dreams, right? For Jesus, for her son, for this boy. She's protecting these things. She's keeping these things in her heart, as every parent does. And it leads to, what are you thinking, boy? How am I supposed to help make this happen? How am I supposed to do this? How could you just walk away and not tell us what you're going to do and where you're going? I have these hopes and these dreams for you. And if that's going to happen, then you're going to have to remain in my care. And let me help you make it happen. And Jesus is saying, I've got some hopes and some dreams of my own. I need to be in my Father's house for that to happen. There's a conflict here. And I think we see a realization in Mary that her little boy is growing up because her approach to this as she's treasuring things is a little different. It changes, okay? There's a transition that happens here. Mary takes a step back as Jesus is gaining his own identity and his own hopes and his own dreams, and she's seeing him growing in wisdom and in favor with God and with people. The conflict came when she said, these are my hopes and dreams for you. And Jesus says, yeah, but I have my own hopes and dreams. And the conflict comes because of the parenting style that goes with those two things. Because in one, the first one, she wants to make these things happen for him. This is who God told me you would be. It's my responsibility to make sure you are that, right? It's parenting style. And he was saying, I got it, Mom. I know you want to raise me. I know you want to protect me. I know you want to make sure I end up where you want me to be, but I've got some hopes and dreams for me too. And I think Mary starts to see that. There comes a point in raising our children where all of a sudden we go, oh, they're growing up. This is not the same as it was when you were this and now you're this. Okay? This is not the same. And I've still got these hopes and these dreams, or we as parents still have these hope and dreams for our kids, but they're growing into their own person. And to continue to try and parent according to my parent them according to my hopes and dreams in the same way as I once did when they were 4 years old is not going to be productive, and it's not going to be healthy. It's not going to be fair to them or to us. And so as parents, we have to begin to allow our children some freedom and some responsibility for their own choices. And we don't micromanage things like we maybe did when they were 2 or 3 or 4. And that's a difficult process. It's a very difficult process. How much do I let go? When do I let go? Some of you went through this a long time ago. Malcolm. Not going to point fingers. Nope, did. Some of you are in the middle of it just like us. Some of you are just beginning to think about when this is going to happen. Or maybe it's not crossed your mind. I know for me, it was like, I didn't even think about that. Oh, yeah. No, it changes. It changes. But I think there is some comfort in looking at Jesus and his mom and saying, oh, they struggled too. This is a normal struggle for parents. Mary, chosen by God to raise the Savior, Messiah, God with us, Emmanuel, struggled on how to raise a teenager. You're not alone in that. Some of you might feel like, well, too late. I already blew it. You held on too tight for too long, or you let go too early. And everything's all messed up and there's no hope left. Listen. None of us knows how to do this. I think we're all doing our best. Even if it's not very good, it's what we can do right now. And you can flip that on its head if you want. Maybe you had a mom or dad who didn't do a good job at this. I think they were probably doing their best. Even if it wasn't very good. You turned. I didn't. You turned. Parenting is difficult. It's difficult. Guiding your kids from little mini-me's to, I don't want anything to do with you. And then back to, hopefully, I kind of like you again. Right? That's hard. Right? It's difficult. And there will be conflict in the process. But moms and dads, don't ever let go of those original hopes and dreams for your kids. I don't care how old they are. Protect those dreams. Treasure those dreams. But know, as your child grows, as your children grow, the way you parent that changes. There's no formula for this. And as you grow or as your child grows, your role might change in that. But you hold on to those hopes and those dreams because I think for the most part, they're God-given, right? And that changes, the role changes because they begin to have hopes and dreams for their life too. And the amazing part is, as your child grows, the hopes and dreams that you have for them may end up being pretty similar to the hopes and dreams they have for themselves. It might just look a little different than you imagined it or you pictured it. I think that's what Proverbs 22:6 gets at. Train up your child in the way that they should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. It's a wise saying, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a formula. Teenagers have their own minds. Young teenagers, old teenagers, young adults, they make their own choices, right? And they can go off the rails from what you thought it was going to be. But for you as a parent, hold on, treasure those things that you believe for them when they were young. So this conflict between Mary and Jesus happens when he's 12. And Mary starts to see, okay, maybe things change a little bit. Maybe it's a more of a, I'm still holding to these things, but maybe it's an observing and it's a guiding thing rather than a whatever, step-by-step process kind of a thing. 18 years later, Mary hasn't let go of her dreams for her son. 18 years later, they're at a wedding in Cana. And they run out of wine at the wedding. And Mary approaches Jesus and says, hey, they ran out of wine. And Jesus says, okay, they should have planned it better. Why are you telling me? It's not time for me yet. To which I believe she gives him a mom look and turns to the servant and says, just do what he tells you, right? She doesn't respond to that. She just says, just do what he tells you. Mary is still involved. Mary is still parenting an adult son of God. She's still prompting. She's still guiding. It's time, son. No, it's not my time. It's time. Parenting's difficult. There's not a guidebook, really. There are, but not really. As our kids grow up, the game changes. And how we interact with our kids changes. And the way we guide our kids changes. But we never give up on those dreams for them. And we never give up. We treasure those things. We protect those things. And as we parent, we can still guide to those things. It just looks different than you've got to do this. And maybe it's just because I'm me. But I have to point out that Mary's dreams for her son, the things that she held on to and that she protected, totally revolved around his identity. Who he was, his relationship with his father, even before it came to fruition. That's what she protected. That's what she held on to. That's what she preserved. What she believed that her son was all the things that God said he was. And for you and I as parents, that's something to hold on to. Even when our kids don't act like the people we know they are, or the people we know they'll become when they come into relationship with Christ, we can hold on to the dream and the reality of their identity in Christ even before it comes into fruition. Parenting's hard, but it's the plan, right? It's the God-given plan. And I know it's the God-given plan because even when Jesus said, Mom, I'm in my Father's house. I need to be in my Father's house. Verse 51 says, and he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and he continued to be subject to them. This is a son of God. Who knows what he understood at 12 years old? Clearly he's understanding something because he's going back and forth with the priest. But you know what he understood in that situation is my mom is my mom, my dad is my dad, I need to go be with them. They've been put in my life for me to learn and to grow, for them to guide me. It's the plan. It's the plan. And for us as parents and moms, it may not always go as planned. Might take saying, hey, come here for a second. I shouldn't have said that. That's not guiding you in the right way. It might take saying, you know what? I realize I'm still trying to tell you what to do like you're four. I shouldn't do that. It may take realizing I think I've let go. I think I've not protected the dreams that I had for my kids like I had at one time. Pressing into those things, treasuring those things that God says about your kids, that he told you one time about your kids, or that he's telling you right now about your kids, and believing them and guiding accordingly, right? So why don't we stand up and let's worship this God who saw fit to put us into families, family units. Your kids are not your kids by accident. Their personalities are not their personalities by accident at all, right? They're yours because God knew it was appropriate. God knew it was right. And I don't care how they became your kids, whether they're biologically your kids or these parents are biologically your parents. It does not matter, right? They're put into your life for a reason. None of us is perfect, and it's always a difficult process, but it's also an awesome process that we get to, as people, reflect our Father in heaven, guiding to our Father in heaven, reminding of that relationship that they get to have. So let's worship our Father on this Mother's Day.